Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Writer Chick with your host, Kay Nicole.
So today I have a very special guest, which is my grandpa. So we will get into his thoughts and stuff in a few minutes. But before we do that, obviously I gotta give you the rundown on the usual stuff. So feel free to skip if you want to. But first off, I have an editing business called Fontaine Publications. I will put the Instagram handle down below, but please go give it a follow. I have a lot of new projects coming up, and I am available for any consultation calls or if you need somebody to start beta reading or editing your first book or fifth book, don't matter. So yeah, hit me up, please. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and Stitcher, and Amazon Music, and Audible, so you can listen to me anywhere. I'm always accessible. And then make sure to follow me on Instagram. That's K-A-E, the writer. Please follow me. Thank you very much. And you'll get hella updates on there or just kind of see how I live my life. I think that sounds fun. And really, that's about it. So let's get into this beautiful discussion about life and death and relationships and finding your purpose in life. So I hope you guys enjoy. I'm also going to apologize in advance for the audio. We did decide to record this outside. So if you hear any cars, any rustling, dogs or whatever, bear with us. But for the most part, I think you should be fine. I'm going to try to fix as much as I can in editing. But, you know, I can't make any promises. Yeah, don't worry too hard. But yeah, please, 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 please enjoy.
I'm a storyteller.
You are a storyteller. That is true.
You know? I'm not uptight about my theories. I mean, what comes out of my mouth is what I believe to be true.
Right.
And my life experiences. That's what life is about. Some people can't deal with reality. Mm-hmm. I'm very capable of dealing with reality is. And based on our reality comes from the environment that we live in. Everybody's real reality is different because of where you live. If you live in Africa or if you live in Europe, your reality is going to be different than mine.
That's true, it is. It's all about perception.
And also because of your age. Mm-hmm. Wherever your age is going to determine a lot what your values are, because life experience, you can't beat life experience.
No, you can't.
You can read a book. You can read instructions. But until you apply it, and it's life experience, it don't really mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Not really. It does mean something, but it's just collecting information. Applied information isn't worth anything. You could want to be the best basketball player in the world. But if you don't go practice how to bounce a ball, how are you going to become a good basketball player?
You can't. It's nearly impossible.
Right. If you want to go learn how to play the game, you got to practice. That applies to everything in life, I believe, personally. If you want to be a good poet, then you got to read. You got to read a lot of poetry. You have to, unless you're just blessed and these words just flow out of your mouth, and I'm not saying that's not possible, because our mind and our brain is the greatest thing that I can think of. It runs everything.
It does.
It makes us aware of everything. It does. Our thoughts. The younger generation don't think about that process.
No, they don't. I think they're trying to, but...
Yeah, well, you know what it is? We're all programmed by our parents and by the environment that we live in. This is the creator who made us beings, and we're just like fantastic. Our mind, our computer, I mean, the design of our body is just like, it's unbelievable how it operates and how it works. And the more we learn about that, which will create a mood and decisions how we make in life. Nobody teaches that. We don't get that taught in school.
No. That's something you gotta just...
No, we get programmed when we go to school.
No, that's true. You do get programmed. You get programmed to do a 9-to-5 type of thing, and you don't learn how to think.
Exactly. It's really crazy that you said that, because education needs to be changed. I think because of COVID and some other things, everything is looked at differently now, because it's not working. The system that exists in the school system is not working. Human beings aren't being taught how to feed themselves, how to take care of their health. Getting information about history and stuff that you can't apply to your daily living and make you a better human being ain't worth shit. And so why waste your time? Teach something that's going to be, teach you how to eat good. Teach you what the value is. Teach young kids on, you know, how to meditate, how to quiet their mind. What's the most important things in life? You don't know what you want to be in life, so just be what you're going to be right now. Learn everything you possibly can. Our bodies and our minds is designed to be a sponge. Everything that we do, Kayla, everything that we do from the time we come out and look up and can't say nothing, we're beings. We get fed. We get clothed. We don't know how to speak English language. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to speak no language. But we have the power, the spirit that's in us, we have the power to get from other human beings how to eat, how to get fed, how to get taken care of. And we come here as spirits to experience the human body. And that's what we do. The most important thing of our physical makeup is we house that spirit that nobody can't see. What you can't see is the most powerful thing. A thought, you can't see a thought. Mm-hmm. But a thought is the beginning of something being creative. Everything that we're sitting on or seeing, some human being came up with a thought and they said, you know what? I think we could go someplace better instead of just walking if we made a wheel. The whole concept of the wheel changed a lot of things, how human beings get around.
It did. There's a lot of things that we wouldn't have if somebody didn't think it up first.
Well, I come from an age of because of the age I am, I saw technology being developed, made, and created, and I think it's a good thing, but it can also be a dangerous thing.
Is it weird seeing how much technology has developed over the years?
Oh, it blows my mind. I was born in an era where television was just developed. I saw things that was comic books, like a Dick Tracy comic book, the fantasy person that created that concept. Dick Tracy had a watch that he could look at and he could talk on. Now we actually have that. We have an Apple Watch.
We do have Apple Watch.
I mean, the concept of going to the moon one time was just so far-fetched in space travel. Now, because of technology, it's pretty much like part of our interest as human beings. Want to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't take care of the environment that we got, but we're still trying because that's how our mind works. We're designed to want to know what's going on. And the best thing to know what's going on is just simply look at nature. Mm-hmm. Nature has the best answers to almost everything.
What answers have you found in nature?
Nature, animals, other species have been created to do what exists, and they're very happy at it because they wasn't given a thought process in a mind. That's what separates us from lower forms of life. We have a thought process. Mm-hmm. But once you understand that thought process and you use it properly and you know, learn how to get tuned into it, then that's where the creative things come from. That's why human beings create stuff, because of a thought process. Everybody don't get it. In history, we got people like Einstein and all great people, all started, Edison, all these great inventions, they all, flight, the Wright brothers, the Wright brothers, not the Wright brothers, the Wright brothers.
Yeah.
Just look where it's come from when it comes to the whole concept of flight. So a thought process is nothing old to the creator, but we're just getting into it where we're using it. Mm-hmm. And that applies to everything.
It does.
If you find peace within yourself, you have to learn how to quiet your mind. And there's different forms. We have meditation, we have prayer, but the human beings who get into that concept to be still and to quiet your mind, that's when you can get in touch with your inner spirit. I believe that's one of the things that's very important in life. My purpose in life, nobody gets this. I just got this from listening to other people and applying it, thinking about it, talking to different people. When you get older, you have a lot of life experience. And it's just like if you stay on top of it and you think about it, then after a while you get answers.
Well, how did you figure out your purpose in life, though? Or do you think there really is an answer to that?
Everybody has a different thought process. A purpose in life is kind of like it's open-ended, because each individual has their own purpose. But your purpose in life was to be a spirit, mm-hmm. to come into this environment as a human being, the physical being. But that spirit that came into us is what gives us purpose. And while we're in this physical form, well, we can learn, or we don't have to learn, or we can get programmed, and we keep going in circles because the information that we collect always stays the same, and it's going to continue for us to do the same thing over and over and over. Relationship seems to be a problem with human beings. I don't have the answer. That's because it's a control factor. All human beings want to tell other human beings what to do to make themselves happy. Mm. We didn't come here to that planet to do that. We come here to make ourselves happy.
But people rely on other people to make them happy, right. Which is where problems arise.
Thank you. So you get that. There's very few people at your age. What came out of your mouth tells me as an experienced person that you're on a journey and you're open to thought. You're open to process. Because what you just said was a mouthful. It really was.
It was a nugget.
Right. It's a nugget.
It's a nugget, and a wisdom.
A nugget. And until we get more people like your generation, unfortunately, is left with cleaning up a bunch of bullshit that my generation, the generation before me, created. We created all this toxic stuff mm-hmm. on the planet because we got so far away from our purpose here. Our purpose was here to enjoy this planet. It was a paradise. And because of technology in our thought process, we've created a lot of bad things that's not good for human beings. We literally are destroying our house, our planet.
Do you think there's a way to go back and fix it, or do you think it's too far gone?
Well, no. There's no such a thing as not too far gone because of evolution. If we continue to do this, the planet itself will never be destroyed. Mm-hmm. We human beings, we build next to the ocean. We do all these things, and things have been reoccurring in the earth, and man has learned how things have done it. Volcanoes, very dangerous things. Natural phenomena of the earth. It's a natural phenomena. That's through study. That's how islands was created, volcanoes. When the earth is settling, and because we're destroying our atmosphere, we generate so much toxic waste that some of this stuff can't go away. Mm-mm. Now, radiation is something that we all need. By design, the sun brings us radiation every day, but it was designed in such a balance that it worked. Anything that man copies or takes from creation, we have a tendency, the first thing that we do is run it through a military base. Human beings are just, we're just warmongers. I don't know.
That's a nice word to use, warmongers.
Yeah, right. I mean, why couldn't we take that thought process? And there are human beings who believe that because of the spiritual beings and the spiritual beliefs. That's why I'm saying everybody has a different belief. For as just many bad people, there's that many good people. For as many people who don't understand, there's people who do understand. Mm-hmm. I think the universe is basically built on pure energy. Everything holds that energy. The energy that you can't see, in technology, we call that a quantum world. At one time, people would go like, oh, that's impossible.
Well, what exactly is a quantum world?
A quantum world is what you can't see mm-hmm. with your eye.
So it's like other dimensions.
It's other dimensions that do exist. Mm-hmm. And because of the intelligence of human beings and the development of science proves that. That actually science is a good thing. We can't believe it all. We can't believe everything there. But in the meantime, that opened up a world that as human beings through our mind, we can understand how to function in other dimensions. We're so programmed and so lazy that we just get what's handed to us. Just like as every generation gets programmed by the parents. Their parents tell them what they think to be believed and didn't work for them, but we still want to pass it on to each generation. We want to give the younger generation thoughts of what they need to do in the order to make it better. And most of the time, we're giving them shit that didn't work for us.
Basically.
Especially relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, I think human beings, if we spent more time and trying to use the concept of love. Love happens to be one of the most positive, I call it the glue of the universe, that's the energy which is the most useful for fixing, creating. That's why, unless you don't understand it, it can be very confusing. But as human beings, we want to put titles, we want to put labels on everything, and then we want everybody to believe what we said because that's who we are. That's what the concept of religion is. Religion has taken certain things, and there's all different forms of religions on the earth. But human beings have taken to believe that because I was born here and I believe this, I am right. That's what wars are fought over.
That's true.
It's religion beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm right.
And you're wrong.
And you're wrong.
Basically. Right. This is what it is. Right. It's my way or the highway.
Right. The Christian religion. Ooh. The Romans used to... Christianity was spread by the sword. Was that right? Is that a concept? Is that a misinterpretation? Because if you don't believe what I tell you, I'm going to cut your head off. Ooh. That's a real good way to convince somebody that...
It is. That, it's a real good way to make people
right.
believe in something.
Exactly.
Without giving them a choice to, like...
Right.
Right. Decide for themselves.
Right. Everything is about control. There's always comes with all the rules and regulations on how to live your life and how you do. And some of the things are very positive, but most people don't go by that because they go by their emotion and their ego.
Do you think that's part of the reason why relationships fail a lot?
Relationships fail because most people don't know how to deal with themselves. They don't know what their purpose is here.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you navigate that, though? How do you navigate relationships when you're still trying to, like, figure yourself out?
Figure yourself out?
Yeah.
Because you can't get what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give love if you don't understand love. If you don't have love in your heart, then how are you going to give love? And then all these other types of things, there's books and there's all kind of stories and fantasies written about it. But the concept of love is an energy. It's an energy feeling. It's just like we have that GPS in us that comes from our spirits, which is like we're influenced by that. But the other very contradictory thing is we don't know enough about it. It's just like I can't give you a dozen oranges if I don't have oranges.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I give another person love if I don't know what it is myself?
Mm-hmm.
And then I interpret that. You love me because you're doing what I want you to do.
Right.
Or you're doing what I want you to do because of certain rules and regulations comes along with relationships. That's not how human beings get along. We get along with each other because I want to do this because I feel very comfortable with it. You do this. If you can make yourself happy by your choices and you have love within yourself, then you know what? You could get along with another person who believes the same thing. Two happy people could get along.
That's
and the,
true.
And the other thing is, if I'm making myself happy, I don't need you or tell you, you need to do this because that's going to make me happy, Kayla. That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
It absolutely makes no sense.
Selfish in a way.
It is selfish. It totally is selfish, but for yourself, we have that because we know no better, because we're programmed. You're programmed to think that the best thing in a relationship is as a female, if I can get you to act a certain way and give me certain things, that's going to make me happy. That's a false illusion. That's a false illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same thing. It's the whole thing between femininity and masculinity is really, if you take that away, a spirit has no gender.
Doesn't know.
A spirit has no gender. It's not a female. It's not a male. Those genders have something to do with how we reproduce as beings. But the most important thing is just to be a being. Your spirit, don't matter what gender you is. Love don't care about the gender. Males and females have the same amount. It's a good thing if it's used in the proper way. Mm-hmm. Most people don't get it. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you, but life experience taught me this from watching people. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be one of those people that I looked at life situations and I would scratch my head and I'm going like...
You would question it versus just accept it.
I question everything. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was told I asked too many questions. I still asked a lot of questions. But in the meantime, it's working for me.
Well,
Because of my questioning, it's just like, I mean, I can remember asking when I was a kid, why is the sky blue? Nobody gave me an answer. Later on in life, I learned why through science and everything out and through the prisms and how the earth is divine design. But nobody said, you know, I didn't have an answer because the only answer was given to me is, instead of the person I asked the question to is saying, well, I don't really know. They couldn't deal with the truth. And they just told me that I asked too many questions that there was no answers to.
Why do people do that, though? Why not just be honest about not knowing?
Because they can't deal with the truth. That's another thing is most people can't deal with the truth. I'm sure you've heard the expression, the truth set you free. Mm-hmm. A lie is nothing but a lie. It's nothing but a representation of confusion. A lie will never come out the same way.
Because but the truth stays the same.
The truth stays the same. That's why math represents a certain amount of basic truth. Mm-hmm. There's rules and regulations of math that you can depend on it. You know, 2 and 2 is 4, and the mathematical things add up. We make decisions based on math in the business world because that's pretty much a true fact. Emotions, very difficult to make decisions based on emotions because our emotions are controlled by our environment and bad situations. You might make a decision on something and you just might just 2 minutes before you made a decision about something, you might have had a bad situation in your environment, you was pissed off, and now you're gonna pass on a decision, somebody asks you a question, and because you're emotionally upset, you give them bad information.
Because you're not thinking clearly, you're not thinking straight.
Exactly.
You're still thinking about whatever pissed you off. And it goes
back to you want to make good decisions, quiet your mind. If somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer, it's okay to say, you know what? Give me some time to think about it. Instead of spurting out something that don't mean anything, because now what you're doing is you're getting your emotions tied up and your intent is going to get you screwed up because you're giving somebody information with a bad intent. Mm-hmm. Your bad intent comes from you don't have the answer. Just simply say, you know what? I don't have that answer.
Do you think intention is very important?
Oh, I think it's... I think that intention is just as important as air. Mm. So in within your mind, your intent is your spirit. If you do something in a relationship and you go to a relationship and your intent is to take advantage of somebody else because they don't have the same spirit as you do or they're into a believing or a lack of, and you take advantage of them, that's going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. There's a certain law in the universe. We call it karma. We put different names on it. But if you put out bad energy...
You're going to get it back, basically.
You're going to give it back. Mm-hmm. If you give out good energy, it's going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. Can you correct certain things that you put out? Yes. Because the whole concept of love, forgiveness, there's certain... energy things that comes through a spiritual basis, no matter what religion is, forgiveness happens to be one of the most positive energies is because that allows you to make a mistake and forgive yourself for it. The thing is, don't keep making the same mistake over and over and over and then go ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, no, at that point, it's that just like, work. Did you even learn your lesson the first time?
Right. You know? No. There's certain things that you have to learn a lesson in. And I think that's important with relationships. Relationship basically can't, it's very difficult because of egos and environment, and everybody wants somebody else to do what they want to do to make them happy. If everybody can learn how to make yourself happy first, I think human beings would get along better.
They would. And do you, how do you learn to forgive people, though? How do you learn to forgive other people, or at least forgive yourself, I guess?
It's just a process.
It's just a process.
It's a process that your intent is that if you hold on to it, and it's a negative thought. Negative thoughts actually affect our thought. It goes back to our thought. Our thought is so strong that if you hold on to a negative thought and you keep doing it, it actually creates negative energy within our body and it makes sickness. Science has proven that also. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do is you let go of it and you forgive it, and guess what? It's not going to make you sick. When you're happy all the time, there's certain chemistry that produces that you feel good and you have that certain energy. And when something comes into your world and somebody does something to you and you say, well, that person did something fucked up to me and I'm going to pay them back. Now, all you're doing is promoting a negative thing, which is going to come back and kick you in the ass, mm-hmm. because it's going to affect you with bad health. And studies like that, Dr. Joe Dispenza happens to be one of the guys on the planet who's on YouTube, who's actually taken science and proven that. Mm-hmm. Other scientific things have been proven by that. He happens to be one of the people that I believe in, and I follow him because he's taken the mystic out of spiritualism and the whole concept of if you do good, good's going to come back to you. Our mind is just that way. And success and everything else can come to you through a thought process.
Mm-hmm. So you think the mind is the most important thing?
The most important thing that human beings possess.
How do you feed your mind and spirit?
Well, that's a really good question, because what your mind is always going to follow your awareness. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I can give an example of, when you turn television on in the morning and you hear about there's a war in Ukraine, there's this and that, just so much negativity. Your mind is going to, your awareness is going to follow that. You turn the television on. Now, you're aware of the information that you're getting off of a mechanical device. And it's going to upset you whether you want it or not. So the best thing to do is don't expose yourself to it.
Basically, just turn it off.
Right, and expose yourself to positive things.
Well, that's why I don't watch the news anymore, because it's too depressing.
Right.
And every time I watch it, I'm just like, God, is this what the world is like? And it just sends me down a spiral.
Exactly. So. But that's not. But the other thing is, what you expose yourself to is what your heart's going to follow. Mm-hmm. And it's actually going to create good health or bad health.
Well, it sets the tone for your day or the way you go through your life.
Absolutely. You know? And what it does is, it's called monkey mind.
Yeah, monkey mind.
And because now you're following a process that you can't follow an answer to. Just like if you have an argument with somebody and then you try to keep thinking about it, there's no answers to certain things. You just need to let it go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's one of those things. Sometimes you're never going to really have an answer.
No, but you know what? It's a learned process. You have to learn how to do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You can set your own self up through your mind. Your choices of how you set up your day. And if you want to become positive, then you learn how to keep your mind focused only on positive things, mm-hmm. and on positive energies. And it's something you have to develop.
Mm. It's just a skill.
It's a skills game. Mm-hmm. Some people learn how to read because they like to read. Some people read because I think books are awesome, because you can get a lot of information. You could get 25, 30 years experience of a person who documented their life experience, and you can learn about that through the process. That's called the learning process. That's how we learn, through experience. And then if you read a book and you've seen something about certain relationships and they did this, they did that, then that's kind of like programming your mind, well, I don't think I want to do that if I'm going to get that results. And then again, everything you read don't have to be considered true, because it's somebody's opinion.
That is, it's their perception or that's perspective.
That's their opinion. That's their thing. But it's still okay to do that, because where else are we going to get it? Naturally, by design, we do this. We do this anyhow.
Well, we're social creatures. We have to learn from each other. It's just, I guess, kind of how it goes.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But but when we become creatures of habit, if we copy somebody's bad habits, then that's what we're going to get.
Right.
And we're going to get the same results. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. If we eat bad food, we're going to become unhealthy. If our mind listens to stuff that's always going to put us in emotional turmoil, that's not good for us, then we have to learn how to not to bring that information to us. How we pick and choose in the environment that we live in has a lot to do with our health and how well we're going to be. It's pretty simple, but not easy to do.
Right, it's hard.
Because most people don't have the ability to discipline themselves to do it. Some people get exposed to certain things, and it changes their life. When I was young, I got exposed to Tai Chi. Tai Chi happened to be one of the best things that I can feel that helped me discipline my mind to cipher through different information to make better decisions about what I did. And I don't have the total answer, but what we get exposed to, it becomes our belief. Beliefs is a very controversial thing because some people believe in satanic thing, and we know from our emotions and from our heart that's not a good, that's not a positive thought process. Mm-hmm. But if you was born in that environment,
to you that's normal,
and somebody programmed you to believe in that, that's your norm.
Yeah,
that doesn't make that right.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make it right at all.
It's just the world you grew up in.
It's the world you grow
up in. And I guess it's on you to
figure
out why that is right, wrong, or whatever.
Right.
You know, you gotta put in the work.
We're all on our own journey. And there's certain things that you have to learn on your journey that makes you become a better person. If you want to improve yourself all the time, that goes by that. And the other thing is abundance of wealth. We all want to have nice things because we're programmed. How do we get programmed? We turn that television on. Television is, I call it the magic television, because what's on there is everything to produce to make you sell something or buy something. They have beautiful homes. They have better lives. They have this and that. And of course, again, it goes back to what we're exposed to. You know what? Our mind's going to follow it. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that stuff, you want those things.
And you start comparing yourself and comparing your life, and then it just kind of leads you down the spiral.
Right, it leads you to spiral, because if you can't accumulate those things, but abundance, if you have abundance of love and you have abundance of health, and you're not totally all fucked up because you accumulate a lot of money, most people who have a lot of money are not happy people.
What
makes happiness is your state of being.
Right.
Not a lot of things. Not a lot of money.
I think people misconstrue that. They think material things are going to make it better. And I'm like, not necessarily.
No, you're right. Well, now, we don't want to be poor while we're eating out
of
garbage
God,
pails.
No, but, I mean, money's cool, but you know, it's only to keep you happy for so long.
Right.
Happy.
And again, what is your intent to get that money?
Right.
If you have a bad intent to get that money, then you planted a seed of deceit. And you planted a lie. And then when you cultivate it and you get the money, you're never going to be happy because how it started.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. And the other thing is, once you achieve a certain amount of abundance of wealth, if you're willing to pass that on and do good and help other human beings, then I think that the energy from having money is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it and it's interpreted as misabuse of power, and because you have money, then you can treat other human beings like they're below you because of you have money. Is something that it's just a barter of, it's we trade things with it. Human beings have always bartered. So natural resources is what human beings have always fought. I mean, native people have always fought over territory and food. It's never changed.
Mm-hmm. It's just shifted.
It's just shifted, and because of contemporary things that man has made and everything, now it gets back to now we're fighting over natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, natives used to fight over natural resources because this is my food. This is where I fish. You stay over there. Go find your own. So what, again, human beings was fighting over what? Natural resources. In today's world, all the world powers are fighting over what? Natural resources. Oil. It's all really, really stuff that
doesn't really matter.
It don't really matter.
None of this really kind of matters, you know?
No.
It's all superficial.
What really matters is to have a good spirit and find your joy and find what your spirit does and help other people find it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief. There's other people who have that belief.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops. The learning process never stops. Never stops.
No, it doesn't. You're always going to be learning, even if you think you're done.
And death is something that we're promoted as a fear. Fear is our worst enemy. As human beings, the concept of fear will allow you to make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard the concept of fight or flight.
Yeah.
That's the natural thing that's put in us.
I think it's like flight. Or freeze. I think those are the...
No, flight or fight. It puts us in a survival mode.
Yeah.
Animals have it.
Mm-hmm.
If a lion's chasing a gazelle or something, it's grazing. As soon as it runs, if you get away from the lion, then it's done. It's safe again. It starts eating. Human beings, unfortunately, we hold on to stuff. We hold on to fear. And the other thing is, as we evolve in life, as primitive people, we used to be afraid of our environment. Then we learned how to protect ourselves in our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got stronger things about flight or fight. But in a modern world today, the things that trigger that same thing inside of us to make us run or survive and everything, it takes a certain amount of energy and enzymes from us. And if we did it all the time, it makes us sick. If we do it once in a while, it's natural. But when you get involved with, you go to a job, every day you have to get up and you have to go see somebody you don't like, that flight or fight thing goes inside you and turns you, and now you have anxiety. So how do you get rid of anxiety?
Right, and fear, that's what would be my next question.
Right. You have to replace it with something positive. If you replace it with something positive like love or happiness, then it goes back to its natural being. But because we're so, I keep saying this word, programmed, half of our life goes through, we keep using the same information, the same resources to try to fix something from the outside that can only be fixed from the inside.
Mm.
Every change that comes from human beings has to come from the inside, not from the environment or from the external things. We're all looking for somebody else to fix us. We have to fix ourselves. We have to learn how to make better choices.
That's a nugget.
So that we don't need fixing.
Exactly.
If you're happy.
I mean, it's not anyone's job to fix you.
If somebody told you that if you're happy all the time, Kayla, and life is good and you pay attention and you help other people, which is a learned process and you have to learn how to do that, and you're going to become a happier person and you're going to live longer, why wouldn't you practice that?
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody tells you, oh, Kayla, you got to go do this, you got to go do this, because you need to make more money. The more money you make, more people are going to like you. And the more people like you, you know, the more friends you're going to have. That's not real. They like you because you got money. They like you because they can take something from you.
Right.
Again, it goes back to the thing. They don't want to give you love because they don't have none to give. They got money.
Well, how do you deal with those type of people, though, whose intent is negative, I guess? Like,
You excuse them. If you recognize them for what they are, if you recognize something that's going to harm you, why would you deal with it?
That's true.
So if you have a conversation with some person that you feel and you know that they're coming at you because they want to do something to get you to do something to make them happy, then and you don't feel that you need to do that, then it's simply you don't do it. You just excuse yourself from that environment. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be getting into a negative thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're being negative.
It's just basically walk away.
It's walk away.
Be the bigger individual.
You have to be the... Well, no. You have to practice your belief. Mm. If that's going to keep your happiness, then why indulge with somebody who's called knowing? Why would I be indulged with somebody who's trying to get me to do something that's going to make them happy? I didn't come here for that.
Right. Exactly.
But if you go get yourself together and you want to do something good for me and I want to do something good for you, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you run into that situation, that's the first thing you want to do is get away from it.
Yeah, most definitely. Because sometimes you can just tell whose intent out the gate is just fucked up.
Well, you know what? You actually, the older you get, you design a energy force that allows you to realize what is negative
and what isn't.
And what's not negative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you're younger, because of your emotion and your ego, you can't make those decisions. And our body language, our physical body language and our needs sometimes will make us make bad decisions. One thing I can tell you in life, no matter what experience you have, your body memory has more memory than your mind.
Do you think trauma lives on in the body?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you can change it. But you can, because if something traumatic happens to you because of your mind, it's like just like a computer. You don't have to forget it. You can remember the experience.
Right.
But if you remember the thought process so strong, if you remember that bad experience, you're going to keep reliving that over and over and over and over. Yes, you can take a negative thought and replace it with a positive thought. That's called reprogramming yourself. And how you reprogram yourself, every time you run into something that gives you that feeling, then you take yourself, I call it a happy spot. Immediately, you got 17 seconds to change that thought process. If you think about that negative thing, it's going to run away with you. That's what you're going to think about all day.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You're going to get that same negative experience from that traumatic experience. You have to let it go. You can say, you know, it's just like if I had, say, a bad experience with sugar and you hold on to it, but if you throw it into water, it's going to dissolve and no longer exist. Your mind is capable of dissolving any of that because you just let it go. Is it easy?
No.
Do you have to practice it? Yes. And then the more you practice it, is it going to feel uncomfortable? Yes. Because our body memory always wants us to do what we're familiar with. So if we learn how to put up with shit, even though it turns us off, our body memory will do that. So you have to change, you have to reprogram yourself not to believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody pisses on you and tell you it's raining, you're going to let them do the same thing?
No, God no.
Of course not. So that's what I'm saying. Life is like that. Don't many of us get the opportunity to understand that thing. There's books out there. You're studying psychology. You're going to college. There's certain things that you're getting through book knowledge that you can apply to life and you don't have to apply to life. Become a good listener. A good listener, you'll learn more in life than a person who speaks.
That's true. I think most people don't know how to listen, though. I think that's the issue.
That's the problem.
Yeah. They know how to talk and tell right. people, but they don't know how
that's
to receive.
That's another way with relationships. If somebody just speaks all the time about what they want and what they want and what they want and what they want and what they want you to do to make them happy, then you can make a decision about that. That person definitely don't know what they're doing mm-hmm. with life. They want everything. They're not working on getting themselves together.
No, they're not. They're thinking that you're going to help them get themselves together.
Exactly.
I'm like, that's not my job. You know?
That's not your job. But in the meantime,
get a therapist. Pay them. That's what they get paid for.
Right. If it gets to that point,
mm-hmm.
and again, that's what human beings do. We think that we need certain things for other people to tell us what to do. That's a crutch. But in the meantime, a good therapist is going to ask you, he can't read your mind. Nobody can read your mind.
But you. I mean, you're the only one who knows what your mind is.
You can create your own dreams, your own visions. And if you can create a happy vision, and you can see yourself doing something in the future that's going to make you happy, Why wouldn't you do that? And guess what? That's going to become your reality. Mm-hmm. A vision is comes through our mind, a thought process. And if that thought process makes us happy, then it's going to make me happy. I'm going to stay healthy. Why wouldn't I do that? That's what I practice every day. Because people, how come you're in a good mood? I said, because I practice being in a good mood. That was your job. My job is to make myself happy every day.
Right.
Now, if I get in a combative argument with somebody, that ain't making myself happy.
No, not at all.
So I'm not a combative person.
I mean, that reminds me of my coworker the other day, because we were having a conversation about the customers there. They were horrible. And she was just saying to herself, she was just like, I want to be less reactive to people. She's like, I just know they're rude, but there's no point in me getting pissed off, because then we're just going to keep going back and forth. It's not going to go anywhere. And well, it's just a waste of everyone's time. And I said, no, that makes sense. I can understand.
That does.
She said, unless they're like majorly disrespecting me, sometimes there's just no point.
Well, that's the same thing, but we all have jobs. And most of the time we're put in situations, our environment, that people are very rude. And
they are.
Most people, they think that they have certain rights because they've been programmed, because I'm a customer and I'm right because somewhere somebody put that.
Well, yeah, they put that stupid thing of right in, and they're entitled. That's the problem. Right. Very entitled.
Right. And people run around and believe it. That's why we have so much animosity and fighting amongst people, because we're all programmed to do the wrong thing. It's programming.
Yeah.
All and
from the second we were birthed into this world, we're just programmed to do the wrong thing.
Exactly. And until you get to the point one day when you get an aha moment from either reading books or getting introduced to different, and then some of us just have a natural
Gift of knowing.
We have a gift of knowing. Everybody don't have that. And when you have a gift of knowing, and eventually when you know that's your spirit, then you know what? All of a sudden, you've just found your purpose. And it comes from the heart. And if your purpose is to help people to learn how to be better and be happy in life, and to learn how to use their mind to make better decisions, that's it. Because the more bad body memory that you acquired, the more it's going to hard for you to find your journey in life. And you don't understand that when you're young. And sometimes you're born in an environment where everybody's abusive. And then you turn to exterior things like drugs and everything else to deal with that environment, to quiet your mind so you can get through it. That's called an addiction. Why not get addicted to doing something good to your mind and resolve that without that?
I think it's because people are scared to confront themselves.
Fear. You're absolutely right.
Fear is the basis of everything.
Fear is one of the most negative energies on the planet. And there is no fear if you got true love in your heart. There's a connection between your mind and your heart and your mind. And you know when you're doing something that's not
right.
Right.
You know.
Because that's part of how we were designed. Our creator who designed us, put that in us to learn how to make better decisions about life. The things that we need is the things that we can't see is the things that's most important. That's where all our healing comes from, within each individual.
Do you think gratitude is an important part of that,
oh,
too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to be thankful. If you got up in the morning, you got two legs, and you got your sights, and you got this, and you got that, when you see a person who doesn't have that, that's just saying, you know, I'm blessed that I have this. But then sometimes those people were given that to learn how to overpower something and learn about love, whatever. We're all giving something. But gratitude is very another thing. Grace is very important. Mm-hmm. That comes along with forgiveness.
Grace and forgiveness.
Right. That's the magic potions. If you want magic potions, love, gratitude, forgiveness, you know, they're all the things that make the universal energy work. The combination, if you learn how to use those combinations of things, life can be pretty good for you.
It seems like those are the three things most people struggle with, though.
Absolutely. You know why? Because we're programmed to struggle with them. And we keep doing the same thing over and over and over because we get addicted to them. And an addiction is going to make you do the same thing over and over and over and over. One of the hardest things in the world is to break a bad addiction. An addiction to anything, to drugs or to whatever. Or to somebody taking abuse from somebody. If you keep taking over and over and over, that's an addiction. Because we're programmed to keep doing that. We think that's the easiest way. It is the easiest way to deal with it. But if you want to get out of something and it feels very uncomfortable to you, now you're on the right road. And you have to keep practicing until you let it go. If you're in a bad situation, you listen to other people, and people go, oh, you know, you do this, and they do that, they give you bad advice because they're already programmed.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they give you good advice?
Exactly.
The best advice that you're going to get is comes within. How do you get that advice?
Intuition, basically, is what that is.
But then that can be learned. It's mm-hmm. called meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation learns how to quiet your mind. When your mind gets quiet, the inner voice will speak to you and give you wisdom and understanding. It's very simple to say, not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think teaches about meditation the best?
There's several people that I've come in touch with. Sadhguru, who happens to be Indian, happens to be a spiritual guide that a lot of people recognize in the world and for his things that he does and his philosophy that he does. He's on YouTube. And to understand him, again, your mind is going to follow your awareness. If you go look at something like that, that's going to be an awesome experience. My go-to right now is Dr. Joe Dispenza because he deals with the mystic and science. He was in a really, really, really bad car accident. His back broke,
mm-hmm.
and he was a chiropractor. And they wanted to put a rod down the middle of his back. And he had been involved with some other spiritual things through the mind and everything. And because he had a critical situation, he chose to do it with his mind. It was a trial and error thing. Was it easy? Not really. It was very difficult. Did he have belief? Yes. But he didn't give up, and he followed through it. And through his mind, he fixed his back. And then he got into it, and he went and studied neurologists. He studies all the scientific things. And now he measures people's brain waves and everything, but he teaches a process how to do it. If you don't go learn how to do it, then it's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me right now, my journey is I'm attracted to him very, very heavily. A yogi, a young guy, and he teaches meditation. And I liked his philosophy because how he made it very simple. There's a lot of beliefs about becoming a yogi and how to practice and how do you quiet your mind. But he teaches that if you don't learn how to practice focus on one thing to quiet your mind, then you're never going to learn how to meditate.
Mm.
His name is trying to come to me right now.
I think I know who you're talking about. You sent me some of his videos,
yes.
But I can't remember his name.
It's not Joe Dispenza. It's Don DePonte.
Oh, is that who it is? Okay.
Yes. He's very good. He'll, out of all the things I've done and tried to meditate, I followed his philosophy, and his was the easiest form to do. And he teaches if you don't know how to concentrate, you're never going to learn how to meditate. How do you learn how to concentrate? Easy. In the morning when you get up, first thing you don't do is you don't turn your television on. The first thing when you get up in the morning is you focus on each individual thing you do. When you brush your teeth, that's all you think about. I'm brushing my teeth. When I wash my face, that's all I think about. And guess what? That's learning how to quiet your mind. And then you move forward with it. Before you turn your advice that we're all addicted to, television and cell phones and information. Because once you open that door to that, then that's going to dictate your day. So through meditation, you can dictate your whole day. Just like when you get up in the morning when you're driving and people are doing crazy shit around you. You don't let it affect you. You use it as a focus and say, you know what? I don't want to be that way. And you quiet your mind. Don't go let your emotions go like, fuck that, this, that, and this, and that, and this. We're all guilty of it. It's a learned process.
I am also guilty of it.
But you know what? And it's true. And you know how I speak to you about it. I'm going, you know, but in the meantime, we're having a conversation now. That's a how-to to do certain things. So the things and the people that I've got exposed to is why I become who I am right now, because I took those things that's positive and I practice it. Is it easy? No. Do I have a better life right now? Yes. I'm happy most of the time. And if I run into something that makes me happy, I let it go. Mm-hmm. Because my happiness makes me healthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on it. My joy is to be happy. And my purpose is to make other people happy and teach them what we're talking about how to do. I don't need a title for it. I pass this information on to somebody who's willing to listen and take it. I'm not in the convincing business. You just have to, one day you have to get an aha moment, and I plant seeds. I plant seeds that I consider to be a positive thing. If you plant a seed and you water it, good fruit will grow. If I give you a negative thought and you water it, guess what? And you're going to get bad fruit.
That's true. You know, very bad fruit, very bitter fruit.
Right, bitter fruit. Get that. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how life is for me. Life is good for me. I'm living my best life right now. And I do things that make me happy. Do I piss on other people in order to achieve that? No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And when I see somebody who's in a state of depression or who needs uplifting, I speak to them about it. Mm-hmm. But when I can tell you one thing, when you go out in the morning, you have a good energy aptitude and you smile and everybody looks at you, hey, how you doing today? And I think you've seen me out in public. I'm that type of person.
You are.
I speak to everybody because I'm giving off that energy.
I guess because you don't know who's having a bad day or who.
No, you never know who's having a bad day.
Yeah.
And guess what? We all like to be around people who are positive.
That's true. We do. I mean, who wants to be around somebody who's miserable?
And when you're walking through there and somebody says hi to you and you don't say hi back to them, then you know what? You just missed a chance to receive a blessing. Mm-hmm. Because your attitude was bad and you had a bad attitude and somebody before gave you a bad attitude that you wasn't smart enough to let go of. So then when somebody gave you a good attitude...
Now you don't know how to take the good
attitude. Now you missed it. Mm-hmm. You missed a blessing.
Missed a blessing in disguise.
And life is just like the weather. I tell everybody that. The sun can't shine every day. But when it shines...
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Right now. With it being... It's so beautiful outside.
Oh, this is such a good day.
Like, this is a great time to read and stuff.
I've watched that tree grow since I've gotten here.
It is a pretty tree.
I've taken pictures of that tree. Mm-hmm. And trees are a fascination
to me. Trees are they're knowledgeable. That's how I like to think about it.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing I like to describe about them, because they know more than any of us do. They've been here the longest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can get the energy from them, too. Trees like us.
I love trees.
You know, trees, without without trees to clean the air and... Trees, you know, we're talking about energy being stored. They're storing energy. Mm-hmm. They're storing energy. We could take a tree, cut it down and burn it and change the form of it, and we get heat from it. So that's just a natural way to store energy. Most people don't look at trees, but you know what? Trees get processed and everything. Guess what they print money on? Paper that comes from what?
Comes from trees. Trees never die.
Absolutely not. We never die. Our physical body expires. Our spirit is created energy. You can't get rid of energy.
Well, I was actually about to ask you a question about death. And what do you think is on the other side of it? Do you,
you know,
think
what
there's
is
like a heaven and hell, or just kind of
no,
like...
No, I don't believe in that. I don't think there's a heaven and hell. I believe that the energy that we have as human beings was created by a superior being. We can call him God, we can call him Allah, but the source of all energy that we come from is just amazing being. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing being. We can't put a name on it. We can't put a title on it. But all the stuff that was created was by this being. And once you tie, and that same that same creative juice, he put in each and every one of us so that we can be as great as we want. It can't be destroyed. We can't be destroyed.
So we never die.
We never die. There's no such a thing as death. Mm-hmm. We experience death, and it brings us a sadness because we're never going to see that person in the physical plane. But when you think about it, because of a thought in your mind, in your heart, your love in your heart, as long as you think about that person and the positive things about it, they still live. They live where? In your mind, in a thought process. And a lot of times, even when somebody who has passed and you thought about having a good time with them, your body memory, it brings joy.
It does.
Now, if you just think about the negative thing, guess what? It goes back to the same old thing. Don't think about negative things because it's going to bring you down. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think so many people have trouble dealing with death. There's a mourning period, which is natural for human beings, for all living species, actually. I mean, when you watch nature, nature is just how it is. It's the law of the claw. There's certain things that are going to eat other things, and it's the balance of nature, and some fish eat other fish, and it's all part of it. But we separate because of the concept. We have the principle of thought. We have the energy of thought. That's what makes us different. Do I know? No, I don't know. Nobody knows what happens to you when you physically go. But if you have that concept and you believe that concept, then that's what's going to be good for you.
Do you think it's kind of like the OA with the alternate dimensions, like you just
bought? Absolutely. 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 Because you can achieve that while you're here through meditation.
That's true.
They call it astral projection. They put titles on it. They call other things healing. They've got people that can put their hands on you and heal you. That's because they've gotten to another dimension and they've learned about that gift that God gave every one of us. He put it in each and every one of us. You know, the Bible says we're made in God's image. We are. So that His Spirit is in us. And it's that simple. And He gave us that thought process to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And the more that you get tuned into that, you realize that you can't die. You just can't die. And people who have near-death experiences, people who have actually experienced near-death experiences actually know. It's called knowing. Mm-hmm. You know it. I've had two of them in my life. Maybe that's why I am who I am.
What were they, if you don't mind me asking?
I was in a car accident. I was pinned in a car. And I was really, really like, it was a bad situation. And I actually left my body. And I was looking at it from hovering over the accident. I saw myself pinned in the car. Damn. And a state trooper came along. And he lifted my eye up. And he said, I think this kid is dead. And when he said that, I chose to go back in my body. And when I went back in my body, again, it's something to do with reprogramming yourself. Because I was out of my body, I chose to go back in. My spirit went back in there. My body healed itself.
Why did you choose to go back?
I don't have that answer because I wanted to live. I had a taste for life. Mm-hmm. I was young. I was like 27. I just went back because when he said I was dead, for some reason, I knew that I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. And at that particular time, I chose to go back. That's the choice that I made. And the next day, I mean, they hauled me off. They had to cut me out of the car. Nobody didn't know when my back was broke. I was all beat up. But I went through the windshield. I hit my face on the concrete.
Ouch.
My face, one side of my body was swelled up completely like this. I mean, one side of me was like two different people. And I had glass all my hair. And everybody looked at me. And even after that, I went back and looked at the car. I'm going, like, how did I survive that?
Yeah, if you flew through the whole windshield.
No, not only that, I went through the windshield, I got thrown in the car.
Yeah.
Rolled over, I got hit in the back of a tractor trailer right over top of me.
Dang.
And I was pinned in it. By all things, I should have been dead.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how strong that spirit is. And one time, other time, I had a similar experience when I had my tonsils out.
Mm.
It was really weird. That's the first time. I never spoke about it. And I didn't speak about this because I thought people think I was nuts and weird. And then when other people started coming forward with near-death experiences, it's my reality, I know. Because at that particular time, I had my tonsils out. And when I was in the operating room, they gave me ether or something. At that particular time, it's known right now, a scientific thing, that it will make your spirit leave your body if certain chemicals are introduced to your body.
Hmm.
And they use that to put you sleep on to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that. My spirit was out. I was actually in the operating room. I was watching them operate, take my tonsils out. And for some reason, that's probably why I have a spider phobia day. I was in the room. I saw a spider
up in
the corner. And for some reason, I split. I said, like, psh.
Oh, yeah, no, that would have got me to split, too.
Now, my spirit left. Now, after they finished the operation, my next-door neighbor, she was a nurse, and she came to see me, and she said, I look gray because my spirit wasn't in my body. I was breathing, but I didn't wake up. I did not wake up. And knowing what I know now, I couldn't find my body. My spirit went out into the universe. How I got back into my body and where I was during that time, I have no. But for some reason, I collected energy and spirit because I was in that realm of the quantum. But I still had that desire to live, so I went down, boom. And now you can reach that through meditation.
Hmm.
You can reach that being. It's just like once you taste it and smell it, you can get back there. Is it easy? Not all the time. You can meditate, and the meditation is that you can't get back there, but I've gotten there. I've learned how to get into a spot where I feel good, I'm very peaceful with myself, and it's a place of nothingness. It's hard to describe, but it's your spirit that's there. Your body is still here. But once you learn how to do that, and then you learn how to take and see yourself in the future, and you can create a whole new person. And I've learned this from Dr. Joe Dispenza. It can work. And once you, and the only way you can do it is through meditation. And you have to practice it. You can't practice it once in a while. You have to go out every day.
Every single day.
Just like you brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
guess what?
Make a habit out of it eventually.
It becomes a habit. And after a while, you know what? It just life becomes better.
Yeah. It becomes better.
Right. There's no such a thing as an accident. An accident is only because you're not aware of your surroundings. That's all. And then sometimes when you get on that level, you get information. They're called premonitions. If you get a premonition, I really shouldn't do that because I don't feel good about it, don't do it.
Listen.
Because something's going to get fucked up.
Oh, it usually does.
Listen. You know, and you have that. You have a special spirit, Kayla. I've known you since you was like when you first got here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And me and your grandmother, we took care of you. That was like, we wanted to do that. But as a little spirit, you know, I've seen you go through things. You had the entity that was next to you for like 3 or 4 years. Your window didn't close. When we come into this world as a spirit, some people's window don't close. You're connected between where you come from as a spirit and the physical plane. I don't know if you remember, you should remember, but you had an invisible friend that you used to talk to.
Well, Mom used to tell me stories about it, but I don't remember any. I really honestly don't remember most of my childhood, I'll be honest with you.
I'm still saying is like, as me as who I am, and I was going like, her window isn't closed. You could communicate with that spiritual world and that. Maybe that's why you are certain way. It's like, it was just like you had a near-death experience. Only you had at an early stage. That's why your thought process maybe is different. That's maybe why you're such a creative person, because you is out there. You understand that. Once you get tuned back into that,
that's what I want to get back to.
Do meditation. And how you learn how to meditation is be by yourself. And sometimes relationships are okay, but the best relationship is to develop yourself.
It's really the only relationship that matters sometimes, because you came in here by yourself, you're going to leave by yourself, so you might as well get comfortable with yourself.
At your spirit, yes. Yeah. But your spirit gives you all of that. It gives you all of that. And the other thing is, you can make your body pretty much what you want. And I've done that. I've fixed myself a couple times in life. I've had a broken back. And I fixed it. I just had the ability to fix it. With the help of other human beings, you know. Mm-hmm. But I did it. I did the same thing that Dr. Joe Dispenza did. I didn't, only at that particular time, it was a spirit that I had. It was a belief that I had. And I did it because I believed in it. And I stayed with it. I learned how to deal with pain. I didn't take no narcotics, no pain pills. Nothing. I did it with my mind. And then one day, all of a sudden, it was gone. And how I had experience with another human being who was in a really bad accident. His back was all messed up. They sewed him up, stitched him up. And there was nothing they could do with the pain. He was on narcotics.
And also heavy stuff.
Yes. And then they finally sent him to pain management. It was a whole new concept. How to start dealing with your pain through your head and your mind. And he took an 8-month course. And every day, they taught him how to think about the pain. And if you think about the pain, eventually it's going to go away. And that shit works. Hmm. If you think about it, because thinking about one thing is a form of meditation. So when you think about that, what you're doing is you're meditating. And you're getting in communication with that inner strength in yourself that can heal your body.
It's that simple.
I mean, I was diagnosed with arthritis. They told me there was nothing I could do. I'm walking. I can still bend my knee. I'm still in the process of doing it. Did I give up on it? No, I didn't give up on it, because that's the challenge. Why would I give up on something? And it doesn't happen overnight. We're all programmed to think that science, you got a headache, you take a pill. We live in a world that human beings want instant gratification. They want instant healing. They want this. It don't work that way. A tree starts from a seed. Look how long it takes a tree to grow.
It takes them forever.
Well, it seems like forever to us, but I can remember saying that's something I've done. I've watched trees. I have a fascination with trees. I have in Newburgh, in Downing Park, I have a meditation tree.
Meditation tree, nice.
I've sat under that meditation tree. Matter of fact, that picture I showed you with the shadow was by that tree.
Oh, I actually still have that picture, too.
That was actually very heavy for me, because I sat there one day. I sat there at 10:30. I started to meditate. And I got into a good zone, and I started looking at nature. I started looking at the ground. I started seeing grasshoppers. I started seeing squirrels. I started seeing dogs. I closed my ears. And then I was surrounded with my environment. I heard cars going by. And then it just got silent. And I went into that quantum world where I had been before. And when I opened my eyes and saw like this, it was 7:30 at night.
That's a long time. 10:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night.
I was just in that zone.
So time just didn't exist.
Time did not exist. Mm-hmm. And once you get there, time and space don't exist. And that's a good feeling.
That is a great feeling, actually.
Oh, no, it's really good. It's just like, and once you get back to it, it's just like, it's a good experience.
It is.
That's why, and based on that, I took that picture by that tree. And it was just, I've always been into photography. I was always into shadows. And I had my hat on and everything. and that was very mystic looking. I said, that's, and it was really strange because when I said that to you, the girl at UPS, she was just mesmerized by that. She connected to it. She says, oh my God, how did you get that? Where did you get that? I said, I just created that for my granddaughter, you know? And I said, she may not understand it right now, but one day she will. Mm-hmm. And she says, could I get one? And at that particular time, I was going to actually take them, reproduce them, frame them, and sell them on eBay. And I made a left turn. I got lost with it. But that was a form of art. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of things with that shadow thing. And that happened to be one that just, like, happens to be my favorite one. But I've done that in snowbanks. I've taken a picture of the snowbank, mm-hmm, and a picture of my shadow. And then you can see through the shadow and you can see the snow, or you can see everything, whatever's in the environment.
It's kind of cool, actually.
It is. It really is. Because you know that's me. You can look at that shadow and know that's me. Mm-hmm. You feel my spirit. That's all that is. And anybody else who looks at it, who's into that, can feel that at that particular time, I was in a positive place, and it became part of me, and I passed it out. That's energy. Some people call things that's a talisman. A talisman is an inanimate object. Until you put your energy on it, it becomes something. It becomes your spirit. Mm-hmm.
This becomes a part of you.
It does. It's like if I take this off, my energy, I wear this all the time. I got this when we were shark tooth. I always wear my native, but if I take this off and I actually put it on somebody and I said, this is, you're going to feel my energy. And when you feel like you're in a bad spot, you hold this and you're going to get positive energy and you're going to come out of your, whatever you're at. It will work. You know why? Because I plant a seed of energy with a positive thought in it. Now, you receive that, you're going to believe it. Mm-hmm. It's a thought.
Exactly.
It's a thought. It's like, you're a writer. You're a writer. You're studying other things and everything. Your best writing is going to come when you don't have to think about it.
No, I agree.
And it comes from inside your spirit. Mm-hmm. And guess what does that? When you quiet your mind and you're by yourself and you're in a good environment, just like we're in a perfect environment right now today.
We really are.
And then when you, that's why I have this innate thing to go back to a room, because I'm going to write. And there, it just comes out of me. My thought process just changes because I'm just relaxed. And I can go into that place where something's going to come out of me that I have to say. You know, people go, as a joke, people say, well, what do you think the most important thing in life is? I go, like, air.
I mean, it kind of is, though. You need it to breathe.
It was 15 minutes, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Probably even less than 15.
Well, less, but, you know, with science, if they catch it before, but you're brain dead.
Do you have one last thing you want to say to everybody before we end the episode?
Yeah, just learn how to be a mystic. I mean, learn how to look at things and don't get programmed. Look at things with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And you have to develop that even. Well, it's so crazy how each individual we're programmed by the environment we come from. And until your awareness changes, you're not going to change. The only thing that's going to change you as an individual is your awareness of what you look at and your choices and what you do. And stop spending so much time on trying to make good relationships. Most people don't have the facilities to have a good relationship. If you have a good relationship with yourself, the most important thing is, how do you receive positive energy from another human being? Is you have to know how to do it yourself. Until I met your grandmother, we just hit it off. It was a good trip. It was a good journey. Again, that was a learning experience for me. It taught me about relationships. And you have to build, sometimes it's not how much time you spend with somebody, It's the quality of time that you spend with them. And if a person was willing to give you their time, and I was willing to give her my time because we chose to. But I didn't try to change her. I let her become who she was. I let her stay on her journey because I had a little bit more knowledge about different life. She received what I told her. She applied it, and we got along. Not saying we had a perfect.
Right, nobody
has a perfect. But we stayed together.
Mm-hmm. You did.
You know, and I speak, we had a good journey. She's still in my life. She's part of my spirit. I close my eyes and bring her right back to me. That's what I'm saying. Once you have that experience with somebody and you understand love, there's no such a thing as death. There's no such a thing as death.
That's a very poetic way to end this off, I gotta say.
Okay.
It was nice having you on this podcast, Papa.
Well, thank you.
I will be asking
you
to come back.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'd love to do it again.
Good. You will.
And as I grow, I hope that I'll be able to give more. I mean, but what I gave today is what I believe.
Mm-hmm. You were spitting facts the whole episode.
I like the younger generation. I was spitting facts.
Yep. So
I was spitting the truth.
You really were.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you.